Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'll be your host for this Back to Basics series. This is episode 1.8, where we ask the question, can intuition be trusted? Now, I did a lot of research on the topic of intuition before I started this podcast. I knew what I understood about intuition, but I wasn't sure what other people knew, thought, or even believed in. So the question I have raised throughout this series is based on the data I found. Can intuition be trusted? Was one of those questions, and why I'm talking to you about it now. Let me briefly explain what intuition is so we're all on the same page, and then we can go forward together. Intuition is the communication from our spiritual being to our physical body in order to create an action. It is how our spiritual being communicates with us because our spirit requires an action or a learning that can only be achieved whilst in a physical body. The spirit sends intuitive messages to create a physical human reaction. Now, in the podcast, last podcast, we went through what intuition can do for you and the benefits of engaging with your intuition. The biggest benefit you have in developing your intuition is the ability to make sound, confident decisions in your life that are in line with your true core purpose. Intuition will lead you towards your life purpose every day and every step of the way, guiding you to make decisions that reflect the real you. But are these intuitive messages, these nudges to go a certain way, can they always be trusted? That, of course, is the subject for today. Can your intuition be trusted? Okay, so here's the short podcast version. Yes, it can, without any doubt. And if you know how to do that, you don't need to listen anymore. However, half of you will not know how to do that, and the other half will know, but still have trouble with it. Now, I know that because I still do, but there is a trick to it. My intuition guided me to start this podcast, and I did, eventually, and after many nudges. And then I listened to one of them the other day, and I sounded so stiff and awkward. But you know what? Now I can't stop. I'm getting more and more information downloaded to me every day. As soon as I think that I don't know what to talk about, another intuitive download comes through. I'm new at podcasts, so I know it sounds a little stiff, but I also know that because I am trusting my intuition, it will ease off as I go along. So with that in mind, I want to say a big thank you for listening. I really appreciate it, and I hope you're getting something out of this with all my stories and explanations. So back to, can intuition be trusted? Now, I said, yes, it can be trusted every time, but there is a trick to this, and we need to go back over what we've already understood to get that to get a clearer understanding of it. So intuition is the communication from your spiritual being to your physical body. These intuitive messages are coming from your spiritual realm and moving into the physical realm. So in order for the spiritual being to communicate with the physical body, a few things need to come into play. First of all, the spiritual being doesn't have the restrictions that the physical human does. The spiritual being has come into the physical reality many times and has a very deep understanding of it. Whereas the physical body only knows this one physical experience. It gathers all the information it can, including past physical history, but it really only knows what it has seen and experienced since its conception and birth. As you can imagine, it's rather challenging for the spiritual being to communicate with the physical human at this level. There is this activity that I've done in a workshop where you get an image and have to explain that image to your friend. And sometimes you have to ask them to draw it without actually saying what it is. Take a flower, for example. You can see it as a flower, but you have to explain it to somebody without using words like stem, petals, leaves, or growing. It is really hard, and even harder when you want them to draw what you're saying. When we did it, we had to ask them to draw an oval in the middle of the page and then put four long rectangle shapes at the bottom of it. Then add this sort of roundish shape to one side, and at the opposite side of that, a thin, elongated, soft flowing shape that billowed out from the oval. And it went on like that until we had described this image and we looked at the pictures that our friends had drawn. Well, needless to say, my communication skills were not that good when I was trying to describe a cow. It was fun. It was a fun exercise and one that made me realize how hard it must be to communicate when you're coming from a very different realm like the spiritual being does. No wonder we get it wrong sometimes and we find it hard to trust those messages. When they're not all that clear to start with, but like all languages, the more we get used to it, the more we become aware of it, the better you will become. So the spiritual being is trying to send these messages to the physical human in a way that the physical human will understand them. Just think, spirit can move through solid obstacles that a physical human can't. Try explaining how that is. So the messages can sometimes seem a little strange and not quite what we expect, especially as the spirit can operate in both realms, whereas the physical cannot. And then there is the way we receive these intuitive messages, physically, emotionally, mentally, and visually. One physical message I used to get loud and clear, although it took me a few years to work out exactly what it meant, was when my hand started turning a blotchy colour and became slightly itchy. It took me a while to work out that when I had this physical sign, there was somebody nearby that required a healing. I would ask whoever was in the room or whoever was nearby if everything was okay, and sure enough, the conversation would come back to somebody needing a vibrational healing. As soon as I completed the healing, the hands would return back to their normal colour. It was a very clear physical message from my intuition to help someone close. Now, emotional messages often come through our heart chakra and they can feel like an ache in the heart. You know it isn't a physical sign because of the emotions attached to it. It's those little prompts that make you ask if someone is okay. Now, one particular day, I felt this very strongly with somebody, but I didn't know what to do. And I was just chatting with this friend and getting this emotional information coming through. I could feel the emotion so strongly, but I didn't act. I didn't find out why. And 3 days later, I found out that my friend had committed suicide. It's hard to decipher these emotional messages at times. Mental intuitive messages come in scrambled thoughts and ideas, especially when you're meditating. You can struggle with them, trying to justify them at times. So you'll get these messages and then you'll try to justify them. Strong mental guidance will have you acting sometimes before you think, how I jammed my foot on the brake in the middle of an intersection and I didn't know why. Within seconds of doing so, a car came flying over the crest of the hill with all four wheels off to the ground and would have T-boned me if I hadn't have stopped when I did. Mental intuition can make you act before you think. In a positive way, of course. But for this talk, I want to discuss visual intuitive messages because that's where we see intuitive messages, but we don't always see them right. Now, visual intuition comes from seeing things which can help which can be of a physical nature or of visionary nature. So imagination is a visionary nature, as is visualization and dreams. When we can see them or picture them in our mind's eye or third eye. Now, I am going to be using visual messages because they are very common to all of us. And we all dream, either at night or during the day. And so this talk is about a dream that I had. The mind maps, visions, and dreams are all part of receiving intuitive message. And often it is here that people ask the question, can they be trusted? Because we know some dreams can get pretty crazy. And again, I say yes, but there is a catch. The visions and images that are coming through can seem disjointed and irrational at times. And sometimes they can seem very frightening, very real and very frightening. Now, this is your spiritual being testing and trying different images to get you to move in a particular way, to create that action. Now, this happened to me on one particular occasion when I had been feeling so frightened by an image that I had to wake myself up out of the dream. When I was in my later high school years, I was eventually given my own room. Now, coming from a family with 8 kids, it took a while for the older siblings to move on and the rooms to become available. However, at this particular time, we had a downstairs flat attached to the house. Now, you could access that via the external or through these internal stairs. And the people that were renting this house were moving out. So Mum said we could pick a bedroom downstairs. And of course, I was delighted. I could decorate it how I wanted it, and it was all mine. I didn't have to share it with anyone. And I can assure you that was just like heaven. Even if I wanted to share the room, though, none of my siblings liked it downstairs. They said going down there gave them the creeps, and I kind of agree. But it was my own room. I always felt there was something strange down there, but learnt to live with that feeling of sort of being watched. Funny enough, it feels creepier now when I talk about it than it did at the time. And it was just this particular spot. It was just as you went down the stairs. It wasn't the actual flat itself. So I was excited about having my own room. Now, I'm not sure how it all started, but I managed to collect a few small fish tanks. I've always been mesmerized watching fish swim around, and I often imagine swimming around with them. I was working part-time while at school, and I would buy new fish or tank ornaments and plants to go in the tank. They gave the place like life and movement when I was on my own downstairs. I always felt comfortable with my little fish, so much so that eventually I had 5 small tanks in my room. Now, one night, I had this terrifying dream. I can't remember how it started, but I still remember the fear that was installed in me in that particular night. I was actually dreaming that I was in my bed, which I was, and the room was really dark, which I imagine it was, being 2 o'clock in the morning. I knew I was in my bed, and yet a cave-like vision appeared around me, and I was in it. It felt a little strange, and there was a small fire at the end of the cave, which I moved towards, but didn't quite reach. And then I was back in my room. I was back in my bed. It was back in the dark. And then again, I moved into this cave. But this time, the cave felt intimidating, like something was about to happen. The fire was bigger and not as controlled as before. It felt a little frightening, but it didn't have me responding in any way in particular. I sort of looked around, but thought it was strange and weird and uncomfortable, but didn't go any further than that. It felt like I was in a dream. It also felt like I was being guided or shown something. I looked around, but didn't see anything other than the fire. Now, I knew that if I stayed away from the fire, but in the light that it was creating, I was okay. Then I was back in my room again. Now, it was strange to be aware that I was actually dreaming. Not awake, but almost not asleep. And each time I moved into the cave, it felt more intimidating. And I felt a little more frightened. This time I didn't go into the cave. This time I stayed in my room and watched the fire. It started off small, like like the one in the cave, and it grew quickly and became a large fire that was threatening to take over. But I still didn't move. I just watched from a safe distance of my bed, knowing it was a dream, even though it felt very real. It was then that I held my breath and the fear in me came to the surface all at once. The flames from the fire were burning through the wall of my bedroom, and in the flames came the most frightening image I have ever seen. It was the devil, and he was coming towards me. This time I was so overwhelmed with fear, I tried to call out. I knew I was still asleep. I tried to yell to wake myself out of the dream. Have you ever done that? Felt so horrible during a dream that you've tried to wake yourself up? It was awful, and I knew the flames and the devil himself were going to engulf me. I was staring at it while trying to yell, scream, anything to wake up, to get away from this image, this vision of evil and death. Eventually, I managed to squeak a sound out that woke me up from this extreme image. I looked around the dark room. There was nothing different. There was nothing happening, nothing going on. So why did I have this over-the-top emotional vision that was so frightening I had to wake up? It was then I heard a sound and I saw a spark from the power point where one of my fish tanks was plugged in. I could smell smoke from the spark, and the power point was exactly where the fire was in my dream, exactly where the devil came out of the wall. I quickly jumped up out of the bed, whipped the plug out of the socket before climbing back into bed. I lay there for a while thinking about the dream and the vision I had, yet straight after it, the fear had gone. All the emotions went as quickly as they came to me. It wasn't long before I was back asleep and awake the next morning to survey the damage. There wasn't any, and I remember telling Mum about the sparking PowerPoint and she got someone to look at it. But it wasn't until the next night when I really thought about what had happened. My intuition had guided me towards the fire, but I didn't take action. It tried again, making the fire bigger in the cave, but I still didn't take action. It wasn't until I created enough fear in me that it caused me to create an action. The fire that was in my vision was exactly where the PowerPoint was, and if I didn't wake up, it would have created an electrical fire in the wall. And remember, I was in the bottom floor. Therefore, the whole house would have been quickly engulfed in fire and my family were at risk. Now, the reason why I wanted to share this story is to show you that spirit will try different things to get your attention, to get you to action something, maybe not as life-threatening as this, but something that is in line with your true core values and purpose in life. Now, here's the catch. It's all about how we interpret these messages. When I woke up that particular time, I didn't go into a dream analysis. I reacted automatically and did what was needed to be done. However, there has been many times when I didn't understand what my dream was about, but it felt like I needed to. I found dream analysis to be extremely helpful at this stage because this is the area we have the most trouble with when it comes to intuition. This is the area that we need to gather a little bit more understanding from other people's views or understanding of different things and bring them together to see if they suit us. So can intuition be trusted? Absolutely. But it is how we perceive the information or intuitive messages that we receive that can make things go a little haywire. Interpreting this information that has come from spirit to the physical human often gets misconstrued. Just like the children's game of whispers, where you can only whisper once in the ear of the next person and they have to repeat it the best they can to the person following, resulting in completely different messages to start with. So your spirit is giving you these intuitive messages, but how you interpret them varies because of your environment, your upbringing, your beliefs, and your goals. That is why it is good to check what other people are saying about dreams or the dream symbols that are within them. And we can look up numbers like numerology, angel numbers, and even tarot numbers if that's where you'd like to go. When you're doing that, when you're looking things up, for example, at owls, I love owls. Owls just really appeal to me. And a lady was talking with me the other week, and she said how owls are a symbol of death. And I went, well, you know what? That doesn't ring true with me. Owls for me are a symbol of intelligence. It's somebody sitting there quietly gathering information to understand what's going on. I see owls as very introverted. So we all look at things differently. Now, how she saw owls doesn't mean it was wrong. It's just how she sees owls. This is where we can look up information and get an understanding. So when people ask me if intuition can be trusted, I say, sure, it can be, every time and in every way. But how you interpret those messages are not always trustworthy. If you are understanding the messages correctly, it will have a positive spin or outlook on it. If it is of a negative nature, then your physical human thoughts have taken over. If it is of a positive nature, it is then in line with your spiritual purpose in life. Now, even the fear that was created in my dreams caused me to react in a positive nature and stop the possibility of fire taking hold. But how I know it was a positive nature was that the fear emotion left instantly after the action was performed. Have you ever noticed how something negative can play over and over again in your mind, whereas something positive can move on quite quickly? Negative emotions seem to dwell, hang around us, even dragging us back into past to find answers. They can stop us from moving forward as we cycle over the same crap over and over again in our heads. Whereas positive emotions don't seem to stay for long, and rarely do they go back into the past unless you make a conscious effort to do so. The focus always appears to be on the future with positive emotions, which leads us to next week's questions. 1.9. Why is intuition good? And that has a lot to do with the way emotions, which are energy in motion, work. Now, we've discussed how receiving visual intuition requires you to interpret intuitive messages, and that can be a little challenging. In next week's episode, we'll look deeper into the emotional intuition to understand these messages better. And again, they need to be interpreted. But for now, that brings us to the end of this episode. I hope you've enjoyed this show. Please connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter for more information. Better still, go to the website, intuitivenature.com.au, and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next show. And remember, we are all naturally intuitive. It's part of human nature. It is our intuitive nature. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I thank you for listening. Bye for now.